This is technically a continuation from last week. Last week we spoke about chazaka and mitzvos because the krushim, the wooden poles of the Mishkan, the Yerushalmi tells us they have to be in the same place because malim mekodesh vein moridin. If it had a certain place that was closer to the kodesh hakodashim, you're not allowed to move that because it has a chazaka. It's established itself in a level of kedusha, in a level of its mitzvah, so to speak. We spoke about chazaka and mitzvos, and if someone has the right to the mitzvah. We ended off last week about the Baal Tokeah and the chazim to the Amnarayim, that technically, according to the letter of the law, unless there's anything wrong with them, then you may not remove them from their position. They have the right to that chazaka. And that is the halacha, according to all the poskim, pretty much across the board. An extension of that is this week's parsha, and that is the aspect of srara, a position, not a one-time position throughout the year, the chazan of Norayim or the Baal Tokeah, but you have a chazan who's a chazan's chazan, who's there throughout the entire year, or a rebbe, the yeshiva we'll have to discuss, a rosh yeshiva, a mashalach, and perhaps the most contentious, that is the position of the rabbi himself. Is that a position that he's allowed to hold on to indefinitely? We'll discuss that as well. We could possibly tie that into the Kohen and his position, the leadership of Klal Yisrael for the Parsha Tetzaveh, but that's a little bit of a push. So we'll just rest on what we said last week to be a continuation for this week as well. Let's begin with the Rambam and Hilchos Malachim and Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin. Kishamamidin Hamelech Moshchen Oso B'Shemen HaMishcha, when you appoint the king, you anoint him with the oil of anointing. Shemar, and he quotes a pasuk, Kumacha Shemoshchen HaMelech, after you appoint him, Hizochalo Levan Vad Olam, forever and ever for him and his family. Shemalchus Yerusha, the kingship is Yerusha. And he quotes a pasuk as well that it should go to the next children. Haniach bo katan mishamrim hamluchad shiyagdil. If the next king is too young, you have to give him a teacher to hold him on until he's ready to take over the position later on. Just like we had with Yehoyada and Yeush and Yoash. V'kolakodim benachla kodim Yerusha, and the order of Yerusha goes according to however you would transfer the nachla as well. However, you would give off regular assets to your children. He goes to all the halachos. V'lo malchus bilvad. And this is what we care about here. Not only is the malchus enough to considered a something that is passed on, elakol hasraros, any position of srara. We're going to leave that definition of what srara is a little bit vague, but any position of communal service, so any position where you have a communal head in the communal role of a head in the community. V'chol haminuin should be Yisrael, anyone who's appointed by the tzibor. Yerusha levno levna ben ben avad olam, and it's Yerusha for him and his children forever and ever. V'hushia bo haben memali makam avasab b'chach mivir. That is as long as the son is able to fulfill his father's role, b'chach mivir, that he has an appropriate level of wisdom and yira to take on that role. If he has the proper midos and yira shemayim, but he doesn't have the proper understanding, so we still keep him and we teach him how to have the proper chachma.
Obviously, politically, this can be debated forever.
Politically, yes. Halachically, we have to see. We're going to see where the two converge. But if the person does not have Yerushimayim, even though he is quite brilliant, we do not appoint him to the position that his father once had.
I assume that the father was appointed at the time when the good position was hereditary.
Correct. Meaning
that he was a king today.
Yeah, but the Rambam was expanding the house to not just a mouth, but any Surara position.
A position where it was intended to be hereditary in the first place.
So we'll have to discuss how we deal with other factors as well. Now, whenever you're dealing with a mitzvah that has Surara, then it can't be taken away from you. That's what the Rambam is essentially saying. And the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Haim and Siman and Gimel at the very end says that if the person is clearly hired for a set time, then they can be removed. So the Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch says, Kal Shenagu Limnos Anashim Al Tzarchei HaTzibor, a community that has established people to act upon the Tzibor, Lizman, for a set amount of time, Uvehegiyah hasman yatsu elu, and when the time comes, that person leaves. Viyichnisu acherim tachtem, and somebody else comes in. Bein lechazen, bein lekupa shaltsaka. Whether he's the gabe, whether he's the chazen, bein lesharminum, any other appointment for the community. Hatzrichim letzibor, bein shenodim aleim schar, bein shenodim afilu lekavu lehem zman samam. Kerbim shemayachu shagukach. Is it whether they're paid or not paid? If there's a set term, so then you switch them out, and that's it. So is that a stira? We'll have to see. The Chassam Sofer and Rav Moshe are going to discuss this. So let's discuss the issues of firing somebody in such a position. We're going to discuss the issue of srara right now. And at the very end, we'll talk about the issue of, right now we're going to talk about firing, and in the end we're going to talk about passing on the Yerusha when it comes to Rabbanus, and also Admoris, a Rebbe as well. How does a Rebbe pass on the Yerusha in that regard? Let's talk first about a Rebbe in a yeshiva. Is a Rebbe in a yeshiva a position of srara? So the Pisrei Choshen, Rabbi Bloy, writes in Hilchos Chiros in Perek Yud, that Rebbe in a yeshiva is not srara. It is not a position of authority position, or is it either minoy hakal, a position of the community, because nowadays most those institutions appoint the Rebbe, not the Tzibur. Maybe back in Europe when the Malabin in the community was appointed by the Tzibur, perhaps. But nowadays the community does not appoint the Rebbeim. And the Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach and the Mincha Shlomo says it's not Surah as well. But he does say it's not proper to fire, it's not a proper minug to fire Rebbe without reason. Just because you want to, you know, clear the deck and you want to bring in somebody else, or because you need to clear the books to remove, you know, a salary cap. That's not a proper reason. Rav Moshe discusses a Mossad, an institution, that wanted to fire a Rebbe. He says that if the Rebbe is not doing a good job, then it requires a Beis Din to make that decision. It requires a communal decision. You need to have somebody to come and appoint and evaluate if the Rebbe is doing a good job or not. If the Rebbe says, I'm doing a good job, and the principal says, you're not doing a good job, so then whose word is taken? He says, Al Pi Din, you should go before a Beis Din, and they should each bring their case to decide what to do. And it cannot be a decision, says Rav Moshe, by the board or the principal. However, what if there's no evidence of him not doing a good job, and they only want to fire him because of the contract? So in this case, you may not do so, because they don't have the right to make a stipulation in a contract that you can simply fire Rebbe at the end of the contract. So Rav Moshe also says that you cannot fire Rebbe unilaterally, and there must be a Din Torah with testimony in front of the Rebbe. Now that makes it incredibly awkward, because having such a basin requires the Rebbe sitting there and the principal, and each one telling the other one why they're wrong. So we try to avoid such situations and to establish the Rebbe is unfit. And again, usually that does not happen, and usually these unfortunate events where the Rebbe doesn't want to leave or they want to force him out ends in a settlement as well. And in many institutions they have set up pension funds for the Rebbe, because what happens is you have a Rebbe who's, you know, much older, and they'd like to bring in new people. The Rebbe doesn't want to take away his parnasa and also his kavod. So what they do is that they claim to claim the pension when the Rebbe is asked. Meaning the condition is you only get the pension when you're asked to leave. And if the Rebbe doesn't want to leave, then they have to go to a din Torah, and that kind of alleviates the machlokes, and the Rebbe has a sense of kavod. So that's probably a smart thing to set up in all schools that keep, you know, the teachers for a long time. But at the end of the day, a Rebbe is not srara, but Rav Moshe says it's not a proper minhag to do it, and you should try to figure out a way to alleviate the tension in both sides. What about a Rosh Yeshiva? Is Rosh Yeshiva srara? So we have a better argument over there. He does have a control over the institution. Rav Moshe writes in Yeradein Chelek Dal Mechavav that a Rosh Yeshiva is not srara. Rather, it's a service to the tzibor and to the Talmidim to serve them the way they need. He's a boss who supports his workers. That's how Rav Moshe views a Rosh Yeshiva. And he was a Rosh Yeshiva. So he's speaking from his own terms. So the Dovev Meisharim, the Shibina Rav in Chela Gimel and Simon Lamentes, he says a Rosh Yeshiva is certainly a position of srara. He just sets the policy for yeshiva. He sets up how things are going to go. And Rav Asher Weiss, in the Milchas Asher, the end of Brachos and Parshas Vayechi, so he said this in a shir. He doesn't write this in the book. He said this in the shir. He said, Rav Moshe's view of position of Rosh Yeshiva as not being srara is because of the way Rav Moshe held himself. Rav Moshe was very soft, and he was very edel in that regard of how he ran the yeshiva. He was not known to be a takif, to be, you know, someone very strong in his position. So in Rav Moshe's eyes, Rav Asher Weiss said, he didn't view it as a srara. He says, but for most Rosh Yeshiva, there is a sense of control over the institution.
The institution, I can think of some yeshivas that don't really have Rosh Yeshiva.
We're talking about Rosh Yeshiva in its classic sense, where he is the, you know, makes the decision.
Not YU, not even.
Yeah, correct. We're talking about a Rosh Yeshiva in its classic sense, where he is the really the head of the yeshiva. Where he sets the policy and makes the rules, hires and fires, things like that. Exactly. And technically, that tshuva was about appointing a ger as a Rosh Yeshiva, a convert. And perhaps he wanted to be lenient, said Rav Asher Weiss, because of a Haftamah Sager, and he tried to find a lenient way to say it. In the mind of Rosh Weiss, though, it seems that a Rosh Yeshiva is a Srara. And he cites the Gemara Bav Metzia Tzadi Zayim at Aleph, which says that Rava said that he can teach whichever Masechta he wants to teach, and the Talmidim can't tell him what he wants to teach. And therefore, in the eyes of the Gemara, the way Rosh Yeshiva is that he sets the policy and the rules of what's taught in the Yeshiva, and he feels that a Rosh Yeshiva is Srara, which would now then complicate the issue of firing and Yerusha. But we're not going to dwell in Rosh Yeshivaship right now. We can look to our own yeshivas that we know of and see where there was a sense of Sarah, there was not a sense of Sarah, but we don't want to focus that on right now. What about a chazan? A chazan for sure, a classic chazan, where he serves the community. It's minui hakal, he's appointed by the tzibur. So the Tshuvas HaRashban, Chelek Aleph and Simen Shin, says you cannot fire the chazan who has served for many years because it would lead to chashad. Harking back to last week's shir, not srara, but what happens if you fire the chazan? They're going to say he's not acting appropriately, there's something going on, they're going to question him, and that's how the Rashba doesn't like firing the chazan. But the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman and Gimel, if it's proven that he's a Baal Aveira, you can remove him. If you know the chazan, they used to joke, right? The chazan was when he would, in the old temples, he would eat a sandwich when he bowed Korim on Yom Kippur. So, you know, if you know the chazan is doing the wrong thing, so then you're allowed to publicly remove him. When the chazan would bow down, Korim, on the floor, he would steak a sandwich because he was hungry. So the Chassam Sofer says it doesn't matter if it's not true srara, and he says the main issue is of chashad. The Ranach, the Tshuvas Ranach, in the Mayim Amukim, says you cannot get rid of a chazan because there's someone with a better voice. That's not a reason to get rid of the chazan. Rather, you should hire, he says, the better voice and keep the first person to do other things. You know, make the guy with the better voice the regular chazan, take the other guy out, you know, for special occasions in order to keep his kavod, and it'll also show that he's not a Baal Aveira. If I'm removing him from his position but keeping him for other things, that shows that I understand that he's not a bad person as well. Let's turn now, probably, to the most contentious issue, and that is the one of the rabbi. Is the position of a rabbi srara, and how does that fit in with firing and hiring at the end of the day? So, in 1892, in the city of Galanta, Hungary, the rabbi passed away, and he left a note in his will saying that his son-in-law should take over his position. However, there was a conflicting takana, a conflicting law within the city rules. The city rule stated that whoever is meshubad to the city, whoever is under, you know, contract from the city, cannot have any relatives in the city. Because they wanted to prevent issues of favoritism and family involvement. So that was a rule that was already on the books. Anyone who is meshubad to the city can't have relatives in the city. However, the rabbi said in his will that he wants his son-in-law to take the position. And the son-in-law had relatives in Galanta. So what are we supposed to do? Conflicting issues over here. The rabbi who has his son-in-law. On the other hand, the city says he can't be there because he has relatives who live in the city. So this led to a great machlokas haposkim as to whether the position of a rabbi was srara, leadership, or a shibud, being, you know, ownership to the city. Does the city control you, or does the rabbi say what he wants? On the other hand, so that's the machlokas. So what do we have here? On one hand, Refival Plaut, a student of the Chassam Sofer, writes in the Kutei Chavar Ben Chaim, he said the rabbi doesn't work for the tzibur, and it's a srara. And he says it's a chutzpah, the rabbi should be kafuf to the tzibur, the rabbi should have to bend to the tzibur in this regard. On the other hand, Rav Shraga Tenenbaum, the Natas Sorek, writes in Choshen Mishpat, in Siman Aleph, about the city of Galanta, he said the son-in-law cannot be the rabbi, because the rabbi is a shepherd who's meshubah to the flock. The rabbi serves the flock, and he has to do what they need. And he cites Rashi and Brachos that says the Yisachar was lemas oved. What does Rashi say? He's lemas oved. He was a servant to the tzibur to give psak and teach Torah. You have to serve the tzibur for what they need. So Rashi is very clear. He's lemas oved. He's oved. He works for the city. And that's the machlokas they had. So what do we see here in the poskim? Is it shibud or is it srara? So let's first go down the path that it is srara. The Tshuvas HaRivash says that there is srara for a rabbi. The Rivash discusses the case of a new rabbi who came to the town and tried to push out the son of the previous rabbi who had taken over his father's position. He says that the son inherited the father's position and it can't be taken away. Srara. In addition, the son had acted as the rabbi for a few years, and even if he wasn't technically appointed, he was still noheg. He acted like the rabbi, and it can't be taken away. And he cites our Yerushalmi in the second parak of Shabbos, which asks, why do we have to know that the Kerushim, the staves of the Mishkan, were set up k'mishpato, according to their law? The answer is that each Kerush needed to be in the same place at each time, so that those in the north stayed in the north, and those in the south stayed in the south. And it was for this reason they would write letters on the Kerushim, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, so that they would know which each Kerush was set up after it was disassembled. The Yerushalmi then tells the story of Rav Hoshea. Rav Hoshea and the family of Barpazi, who would visit the Nasi every month. Rav Hoshea was always given the opportunity to visit the Nasi first. Then the family of Barpazi became the Mechutanim of the Nasi. They married into the Nasi's family, and they wanted to see the Nasi first on their visits. So in response, they were told that the Kerushim of the Mishkan always went in the same place, and therefore, Rav Hoshea always gets his right to go first. And the Rivash learns the same concept, Malin v'kodesh v'en maridin. You raise a person up to a position of Kedusha, you can't take it away, and it applies to people as well. And once someone is appointed to a position which involves a mitzvah, can't be removed, and the Shuvas of the Rivash is cited by the Ramban Yeredeya in Reish Mam Hei, Simen Chaf Beis. That's the first place.
Is that the whole reason of all this? Are you allowed to fire somebody? Because if it's a mitzvah,
they have a chazakah. Yeah, they have a chazakah in the mitzvah. It's their mitzvah. They hold on to it. So the Ranach says, the above Yerushalmi is a din and kavod, and who should go first? He says, but if we're dealing with chazakah, then you can't take somebody else's mitzvah. This is a real chazakah. You can't take it away. Comes the Tshuvas Chacham Sofer and Orachaim and Seven Reishvav. This is cited by the Pisrei Tshuva in Choshen Mishpat and Shin Lamed Gimel. He was asked about a rabbi with a 3-year contract, and they wanted to hire a new rabbi. 3 years are up. We want to find somebody else. So he says that the minhag is that the kehila doesn't fire the rabbi. And he says that the minhag is that the rabbi only commits for some time, that he's free to go somewhere else. Meaning, the contract is only to the benefit of the rabbi. The purpose of the contract is that the rabbi can decide after his time is up that I want to go somewhere else. But the contract is never to the benefit of the tzibor, he says. And the rabbi is allowed to stay there as long as he wants. In the above Shulchan Aruch, he says, didn't we quote that earlier Shulchan Aruch that said that it goes, you know, you can switch people out? He says that's in a case where we have limited rotation and term limits. That's where contracts apply. If it's known that in the community of X, they always change over the rabbi, like the chief rabbi of Israel. It's a 10-year job. 10 years, then you move on. Now, it wasn't always that way. It happened that way because of politics. But it wasn't always that way. But as it is established right now, it's a 10-year job, and then you switch out. However, a regular community, says the Chassam Sofer, doesn't have a plan to switch the rabbi every few years, and therefore, you can't fire the rabbi, says the Chassam Sofer. In addition, the Aruch HaShulchan, Rabbi Yechiel Michel Epstein, we're talking about the greatest rabbis of communities, of city communities over here, the rabbi of Navardik, the rabbi of Pressburg. So they all say as well, Yerodei and Reish Mehei Chabtes, I'll read the Aruch HaShulchan, Anshe Ha'ir, Bochrim Lahem Lahoros V'Ladun, V'Af She'osim Imo K'sav Al Shanim, if they choose him, and even if they write a contract, a K'sav Al Shanim, Mikomakom Ein Misalkano Sola Olam, you can't remove him forever. This is pashut in all the communities of Klal Yisrael. Especially if the rabbi schlepped up his whole family to come to the city, and now you're going to put him without a place to go. He said, "You're not allowed to fire him."
How come Moshe Rabbeinu, his sons, there wasn't the money after him?
Because the answer, because his sons weren't right for the position. His sons weren't right for the position.
Was the Malbim fired?
The Malbim had gotten a lot of machlokas wherever he went. Sometimes he was put in jail, sometimes he wasn't put in jail. The Malbim had a very contentious life. We'll discuss the Malbim another time. I wouldn't use the Malbim's Kirin Rabbanis for anybody.
I haven't watched Masa Jobs,
so it's... So that's the Aruch HaShulchan. Rav Moshe Shaket, who was the Ol Moshe, he's writing in the beginning of the 20th century in Simen Chavav. He came to America from Vilna. He says, "What, America's like the Wild West?" He says, "What's going on here? They fire rabbis all the time here." He says, "Minag artsus habris, of firing a rabbi who hasn't done anything wrong, it's usher to do so." He says, "This is not the way things went in Europe." He says, "You don't fire rabbis who are doing the right job for no complaints just because the contract is up." He says he doesn't like this concept at all. So we have on one side there are those who argue Sarah, you can't fire the rabbi. Obviously, this is not our topic right now, but if the rabbi is behaving badly, if there's an issue, then that's another discussion. But if everything as it is, everything is copacetic, nothing is being, no feathers being ruffled, then, according to these poskim, the position stays. Who says it's not Srara? The Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen in the Psakim in Kuf Chav Ches discusses a rabbi who was Masader Gittin. He was in charge of setting up the Gittin, and that's how he made a parnas. Then another rabbi came to town and started being Masader Gittin on his own, competing Gittin. So the Trumas Hadeshen says that the Mordechai that we discussed last week about Chazak on a mitzvah, the discussion about the Galila and all the different things as well, is only allowing a Chazak if you pay for the mitzvah. However, if there is no payment to do the mitzvah, there is no Chazak for the mitzvah. And this is the sheet of Rabbi Kiveger as well, Mador Tinyana. And he explains, says the Trumas Hadeshen, that when it comes to the Melech and the Kohen, you can't have two people in those positions, because that's going to lead to fighting. Can't have two rabbis, and can't have two Kohanim. However, Kesser Shal Torah, you can't have two kings, you can't have two Kohanim, says the Trumas Hadeshen. However, but Torah, Kesser Shal Torah, is Munach Lakol. Whoever can come and pick up the Torah and be the better leader should be the leader. And even though the second rabbi is hurting the Parnas of the first rabbi, Mikrai Din, the rabbi's not supposed to charge anyway for teaching Torah or doing all the things the rabbi is supposed to do. So you can't claim I'm losing parnasa because you're not supposed to make a parnasa in the first place being a rabbi. So that's not a good claim. And the rabbis have to eat, and we have to have heter to pay the rabbi. And that's why we pay the rabbi. But you can't use the heter of paying the rabbi to stop the second rabbi from coming in. That's not enough of a reason. You pay the rabbi because you have to pay the rabbi. But you can't say you're taking my parnasa.
It's
bitzel's
money. It's bitzel's money.
Exactly.
It should be parnasa.
That's one section. That's one section of Yerodei. And this is Choshen Mishpat. The two areas don't mix. Okay. So then there's another Gemara in Horios. The Gemara in Horios says that Rav Gamliel appointed his students to the position of Rosh Yeshiva. And they initially refused. So he told them, do you imagine I'm giving you authority, srara, to be, you're so humble, you don't want to be the Rosh Yeshiva. You think I'm giving you a position of kavod, and therefore you don't want it? He says, no, I'm giving you avdus. It's not a kavod to be the Rosh Yeshiva, it's an avdus, he says. It says, v'idabru elav lemar, im hayom tiyeh eved la'amazet. To serve Klal Yisrael is a slavery. It's not a kavod, he says. It's not a srara. A similar idea is found in Rashi in Dvarim. It says, L'sha'avar ha'yisim b'rishus atzmechem, before you had your own rishus, achshav harayatem mushubadim l'tzibor. Now that you're the rabbi, now the Rosh Yeshiva, you're mushubad l'tzibor, you're at their whim, whatever they want to do. And L'kutei Chaver ben Chaim, that we quoted before about the machlokas in Galanta, rejects all the other sources and understands that the rabbi is an eved to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. He says all those sources that say the rabbi is the eved, he's not srara, it means he's an eved Hashem. He's shlucha the Rachmana, he serves a Kaddish Baruch Hu. But not many people understand it like that. Who else? Rav Asher Weiss, in that piece in the Mincha Shasher and Brachos and Siman Ayin Aleph, I'll quote to you the piece he says at the end. He says, nearly linkot, de meshubad harav el hakal. He says, the rabbi serves the tzibur. And it's true, we often call the Rabbanus Srara. It's not a real Srara. It's not a real position like that. It's his Chakira. It's a leadership to be an Eved. That's what it is. I have a Rebbe from Yeshiva. His name is Rabbi Moshe Leventhal. So he wrote a book about the history and sugyas and Rabbanus. It's called Srara Shehi Avoda. That's the title of the book. To be a rabbi means to be a leader who's a servant at the same time. And he says, he says, his chova is to serve the Eda. V'im kein, b'koach takana sakal, l'kvolu takein mihu asher yeshiv al kes. It is up to the tzibur to establish and decide who will sit there and who will not sit there. The case harabanus. V'lo tavor harabanus birusha. And he says, therefore, Bizman Azeh thinks the Rabbanus should not go to be Yerusha. He's talking about Yerusha. But he says it's up to the tzibur to decide who sits there. Yeah.
I'm using the Azra reason of, like, in Chazonas, that if you file him, you think it's absurd.
Well, no. If the rabbi has a... We're not getting into contract law too much right now, but if the rabbi has a contract, he should be able to serve out the contract. Because that right here, if before the contract, then that would look bad, 100%. Yeah. But if he serves out the contract, then he serves out the contract. In addition, even though we quoted the Chassam Sofer saying that it was a Srara, there's a contradictory truth of the Chassam Sofer where he says that it's not really a Srara, and therefore there's no Yerusha by the child. But he says you still can't fire the rabbi because it's not the Minog. But he says it's not Yerusha, but he still can't fire. It's not Sara, but he still shouldn't fire the rabbi.
To nominate his son.
So I hear.
What'd
you say? He put his son up. The Ranach says that because of this machlokas, he says, if you have a competing situation, he says, the first rabbi is machzak. So he said, usually in halacha, if we have a contradiction in choshen mishpat, so we say, nahamotzi mechaver al varaya, whoever is machzak, whoever is holding on to it, has the right. So he says, the first rabbi is machzak, and therefore he would prevail. So meaning, if I have, in the case of the Trumas Hadeshin, where a rabbi is coming in and trying to push him out, so the first rabbi always has the upper hand, says the Trumas Ranach. And he says, the problem is this. The Rama cites the Rivash and the Trumas Hadeshin in the same halacha, which is a bit confusing, because the Rivash was the one who said there is Sarah, and the Trumas Hadeshin was the one who said that there's no Sarah. So perhaps he allows it when there's room for two rabbis, maybe that's what the Rama means, or other Achronim say that the Rivash is dealing with a formal shteller, where the usurper wants to push out the rabbi. He's an established rabbi, and someone's coming in and trying to push him out. The Trumas Hadeshin is dealing with a Talmid Chacham in a small town, out of nowhere, middle of nowhere. He's serving as the rabbi because there's nobody else there to officiate. So in that situation, where the guy doesn't really have any position that's official, he's just kind of filling in as the cancer and kind of filling in the positions. So he says maybe in that case you can have somebody else come in and perhaps push him out as well.
So the case of Chaim Moser, we have mean with position be treated differently than number rabbis.
No. Correct. That's how the Achronim want to explain that issue. It has to be like a place where it's not really the technical rabbi. Rav Shturmach and the Chumas Hadagos and Chelek Beis and Tavshin Chav Beis also seems to allow the removal of the rabbi that the Tzibur no longer wants. He distinguishes between a Mora Hara, a rabbi who is teaching Torah publicly, answering shailas, passing and things like that, versus a rabbi who's much more involved in the ceremonial things. He does bar mitzvahs, funerals, things like that. He wants to distinguish between the two. One is more a position of Srara, where he really has a position of he's running the community as opposed to, doing minor life cycle events. That's one approach. The Minchas Yitzchak was asked that, so we'll get back to that in a second. Let's just continue a little bit more. We'll come back to the discussion about the rabbi. The Minchas Yitzchak and Chayla Gimel and Simon Kuflamid was asked about a mashulach. Let's say there's official mashulach for the yeshiva. Can you fire the mashulach? So he says, nobody thinks the mashulach is srara. Nobody says, the Chayla mashulach comes in, we'll have to stand up for him. That's not how it works. And because he works for the tzibur, he can be fired without cause, and this should apply to any other position as well. And the Chalkas Yaakov and Chel Gimel says the same deal, that the Mashalach is not a position of Sarah. What about Yerusha? Since we got this far, we can't leave off, we might as well discuss Yerusha by the Rabbanus as well. So the Rabbah is pretty clear. If the kid knows how to learn, and he has Yerushamayim, so he takes the father's position. If there are no sons, does the son-in-law get it? So the Avodas HaGershuni in Sibin Memtes says he doesn't get it, and he says we have no source that a daughter or a son-in-law is a Yoresh. In Halacha, the daughter or son-in-law doesn't inherit from the father. The Tshuvas HaRama and the Imre Yosher say there is a minhag for the son-in-law to get the position because of the kavod of the Niftar. It gives honor to the deceased rabbi, and that's a type of kavod for him, and certainly a son comes before a son-in-law as well. There's a machlokes in the son and the son-in-law. Obviously, the son takes the position. The Gemara in Yuma says the son of the Kohen Gadol can take over for the father of his roi, even if there's better candidates. This is only for the Kohen Gadol. It doesn't apply to the Meshuach Milchama. We're going to use that in a moment. Right? There's the Kohen Gadol. The Meshuach Milchama is the Kohen who gave the army the pep talk before they went out to fight. That's also a position, but we'll see there's a difference. Does the Rabbanus have a din of Srara to pass on to the next generation in the poskim? So, the Chassam Sofer says that a king is a position of power, and therefore it goes Birusha. Why do we need a pasuk in the Torah to teach us about a Kohen Gadol then? That the son takes over. We know the Torah says again and again, Aaron's sons will take over. Why isn't it like the king? Because his position is not power. It's Kedusha. And a position of Kedusha, says the Chassam Sofer, doesn't go Birusha, he says. A position of Kedusha, a position of power does. A rabbi, he says, is Kedusha. It's not Yerusha, and therefore doesn't go, it's not a Srara, and therefore a position of holiness doesn't go be Yerusha, says the Chassam Sofer.
Our sons were the only Kohen, they're not going better, so it's not really, the fact that our sons took over, that's telling you the Kohen is Kedusha, there was nobody else around.
Correct, but nevertheless, we do learn the halacha of, correct, and that would apply to what we said last week about that if there's no other choice, there's no chazaka as well. Correct, but that is the halacha we learn from Aaron. The next tshuva, the Chassam Sofer in Or HaChaim Siman Yud Gimel, the Chassam Sofer says that he saw that a rabbi is not only about giving shiurim. That was before he became the rabbi in Pressburg. Then he became the rabbi in Pressburg. He saw, oh, there's a lot going on over here. There's a lot more going on. And he says a lot of politics. And he felt the Rabbanus does go birusha, if the child is roi, to take the position of the father, even if there's a greater tamachachan than him. However, he says, in a very confusing way, he said that because the position of Rabbanus makes the rabbi meshubit to the kal, therefore it goes birusha to his son. He flips the whole thing on its head. Because he's meshubit to the kal, therefore his shibud, his abdus, goes to the tzibur.
So son has to.
So the son has to take it, unless they don't want it. Unless they want to let the eved go free.
No, but Kehillah can force the son. You can't get
technically, correct. The Magen Avraham cites the Asar Mamaros, who says the minhag of Klal Yisrael from the days of Hillel HaZaken is to pass the Yerusha to Rabbanus onto the children. And then there's two other points. The first is this. If the shul is basically run by the board, and the board does everything, and the rabbi really has no say in anything, then the Rabbanus is not a Srara, it would not go be Yerusha. That's point number one. The other point is a comment made by the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim would often say about the issue of the Meshulach Melchama. He says, why is it the Meshulach Melchama doesn't go be Yerusha, but the Kohen Gadol does? He says, because the Kohen Gadol is a position of leadership, and that's what it's meant to be. He says that the Meshulach Melchama is about exciting the congregation and getting them up and fired up and excited to go and to go fight and do the Ratzon Hashem. He says, in our generation, we need to make sure that the leader is the person who is firing up the tzibur. Our Rabbanim, he says, are not the Kohanim Gadolim, they're the Meshulach Melchama. They're the one who needs to inspire and keep on the right path and make sure everyone's serving our Kaddish Baruch in the proper way. And therefore the Chafetz Chaim is quoted as saying that, therefore you need to have that in mind when picking the right person for the community as well. Let's talk about Admoris, because people like talking about Hasidim. So let's talk about what goes on by Hasidim. So the Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Chosin Mishpat and Chelik Beis and Simin Yadalid that the Yorish can go to a Beis Din to stop the Hasidus from using the name of the Hasidus. In principle, there's Yerusha for the Hasidus, he says. If all the Hasidim don't want to listen to the Rebbe, then there's nothing he can do. He can't force them to be a Hasidim. But what he can, what? But he can take away the name. If he wants to hold on to the name, and that's, without going into the details, that's kind of what happened with Bubbav and Bubbav 45, holding on to the name, they had to come up with a different name as well. The Divrei Chaim, the Sanz Rav in Siman Lamed Beis says that an Admor is not a Shteller. Being a Rebbe is not the same thing as being the rabbi of a community. A Rebbe comes from the fact that he gives brachos, he teaches Torah. It's not a formal srara, it comes from his natural abilities. And therefore there's no concept of Yerusha, says the Divrei Chaim, when it comes to being a Rebbe. And he adds a whole list of admorim. How many Rebbes gave over to the Talmidim, not their children? That's how it was. The idea that the son takes over, says the Divrei Chaim, is an anathema to Hasidus. The best person for the job should take it, because it's all about the charisma and the brachos and the Yiras Shamayim. What if there's a machlokas between two sons? Who should be the Rebbe? I've heard such things happened before in Klal Yisrael. So the Avnei Nezer, the Sakan Shavar Rav, writes that when the king dies, there's no mashicha with oil for the son, since it's simply passing to the son. You don't have to do Mashiach on the son, because it's already established that it goes to the son. If there's a machlokas over which son should be the king, then when the child is appointed, they anoint with Shem and Mashiach, with anointing oil, because you have to make a sign to mark that this is the right one. So we see that if the tzibur doesn't want the Yoresh and they want someone else, the tzibur can override the Yerusha. We see there's a machlokas for the son, the tzibur will anoint who is the right one. We see that the community can decide who's the right Yorish. The Divrei Malkiel says if the majority says that he's not Roy Lekach, then he's knocked out. However, if they don't have a reason not to accept the Yorish, then they can't stop him at the outright. So let's come back to the original position, the original issue of Sarah by Rabbanim and the firing and the hiring. I'll just make the following point. And that the first thing is that the Rav should respect the wishes of the Tzibor. Why would a rabbi want to be over a Tzibor that doesn't want him? That's just a first thing. Why do they want to be over at Tzibur that doesn't want him there? You know, that's one thing to keep in mind. And the Tzibur should also at the same time respect the covenant of the Rav, who worked hard and gave his lev and nefesh to the community. And therefore, whenever these things do come up to a boil, and unfortunately, sometimes they become unfortunate events, both sides should try to keep in mind, you know, the best interest of the other one. The Tzibur should try to give the proper kavod to the Rav, but also acts on behalf of the Tzibor, and the Rav should give the kavod to the Tzibor to do what's best for the Tzibor, and also at the same time, you know, put himself in a position to succeed as well. Okay, we'll stop here.